Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening. This is Project U Radio, and I am Lynn Alexander. I am actually one half of the usual hosts for the evening. Paul Corman Roberts will not be available tonight, but that's cool. He's having a good time. He's doing what he does, and, you know, we're going to just see how it goes tonight. And actually, you know what? We will be fine because we have Michelle McDonald calling in a couple of minutes. And one of the reasons that I'm very excited about this is because, you know, I'm not going to grill her. I'm not going to give her a hard time. I'm actually curious about a lot of, you know, she's a very smart woman, a very, you know, she's been in small press and you know, all of these different circles for a long time now. She really has a lot that she brings to the table about all kinds of issues. And one of the things that I'm sort of not curious about, I mean, I sort of know her thinking behind starting the Literary Underground as a community, as a resource. I kind of know where her heart's at with that. But, you know, I really think that it would be good for other people to sort of hear what it's about, what's, you know, what the motivation is, and a little bit about what our expectations are. You know, we always have all these discussions about community, and you know, people look at community in different ways. Some people look at community in terms of, well, how does this help me? How does this serve me? How does this serve my interests? And if it doesn't, then why should I invest time? Why should I invest resources? Why should I care? You know, if it doesn't help me, you know, but I mean, I don't know. I come from the school of thought, and I really think that history and a lot of art movements, literary movements, I think it kind of bears it out that, you know, I think people, you can find many examples of where people have sort of stuck together. And, you know, it really, it sort of does, you know, benefit everybody. Maybe it's not always an immediate return on your investment of time. Sometimes it does feel thankless, or it feels like you're putting in maybe more than you're getting out. But, you know, and community really shouldn't feel that way. You know, it really has to be something that, you know, you enjoy and, you know, you feel strongly about. I mean, there are people that are loners. There are people that are solitary creatures. And that's cool, too. But I'm interested in hearing a little bit about what Michelle McDonald, the founder of the Literary Underground, has to say about some of this. And, yeah, so that's sort of where we're going tonight. Interestingly enough, tonight I believe we're going to be followed at some point, I think later on tonight, by an episode of the Meth Lab. Frankie Metro is going to be doing that. Just a little bit about the scheduling here. We do have in our archives the show from last week, which was live from the Telegraph in Oakland. It was kind of a cool opportunity because Paul Corman Roberts was actually at the Telegraph for one of the Beast Crawl meetings, which is a literary festival that will be taking place out there in July, and he had Missy Church and Holly Hardy on, and you know, they really got into the spirit of this event, and I mean, it just was really, you know, kind of just exciting to hear them talk about it. And yeah, so, you know, if you can always go in the archives. I mean, people sometimes say, hey, you know, do you have like a podcast available? You can go to the show page. You can look under archives where it says sort of on-demand episodes, archives, and just, you know, click on any show, and you can download it as an MP3, listen to it on whatever device you prefer. Next week we have editorial affirmative action, which is sort of an issue I've been sort of fascinated with. Sort of this idea of female representation, whether it is a problem. Some people say, you know what, it really isn't a problem. You know, don't make it a problem. And then some people say, you know, no, it really is a serious issue, but that there are, you know, a lot of different reasons for it. You know, whether women are submitting as often, whether women submit to the same kinds of publications, and whether you know, editors are biased or not, and what can be done about it, if anything can be done about it. We do have a page, theliteraryunderground.org/projecturadio, and I have to say, sometimes I'm a little bit of a slacker, and I don't update it all the time. I mean, it's not like every day there's new stuff on there, but I do try to sort of give a little bit of a rundown of the schedule and what's going on and different shows and, you know, just a little, I guess, summary, you could call it, of, you know, what we have going on with Project U. And, you know, Literary Underground Radio isn't just Project U Radio. It's obviously Draconian Vampire Tunnel with Frankie Metro, and it's also Your Mother's Medicine Cabinet with Frank Reardon on Monday nights. So, you know, a couple of different things. I'm going to go ahead, though, and bring in our guest and see how she's doing tonight. How are you?
Well, I'm here.
You're here.
How are you here,
and that's wonderful. And that's, you know what? That's half the battle, really. you know, and you know what? I joke around that, you know, that I'll grill you, that I'll put you on the hot seat. But you know, I'm not like that. I mean, you know, this is just sort of informal talking. You know, the way that we would, you know, we would on the phone, or we would at one of our meetups or parties or hangouts. You know, where we kind of get together and sit and talk about things the way we do, you know?
Good.
I don't know how does that sit with you, okay?
That's good.
That's good. So it's casual. I mean, we're, you know, I always say we're freewheeling, you know, we're unscripted, we don't, you know, go to great efforts to, you know, plan out everything we're going to say on this show, because, you know, some of what I like about Blog Talk Radio is it's spontaneous sometimes. It's you know, however it goes, it's organic. It just sort of flows from, you know, whatever we feel like doing. And, you know, as the person who sort of originated, I mean, so many projects, not just Literary Underground, I mean, you've come up with all kinds of schemes and projects and, you know, you're sort of like me. I mean, I come up with things and then it's like I have to do them. I become seized by these ideas and, you know, sometimes to our detriment.
It's a little bit manic, I think, yeah.
Right. And, you know, I don't know. I mean, you know, people are kind of, you know, different topic shows, people are kind of funny. You know, sometimes people feel like calling in, and sometimes people, you know, after the show is over, they'll email me or they'll message me and they'll, you know, and I'll say, well, why didn't you call? Why didn't you share that with everyone? You know, these are good thoughts that you have here. Why don't you, you know, that's always something that puzzles me, is that people will put things on Facebook or they'll email or they'll send messages, and so many times I think, you know what, that's like good stuff they have to say, you know, that's, you know, something that I think would have been a good contribution to the conversation, but people are funny, you know, about calling up and actually.
Yeah, you know. I don't know about everybody else, but for me it's just kind of nerve-wracking, you know, I just don't feel comfortable, you know, talking on the Blog Talk or whatever, but, you know, I do listen to the shows, and it does make me think, and I enjoy that, and I think it's good, you know, if you can't call in, that, you know, you post about it later, and, you know, discussions happen, sometimes kind of fire up, and that's sort of one of the points is, you know, to foster the sense of community in the small press where we can talk about things, and debate things, even, you know.
Debate sometimes is, I personally think it's a good thing. Even when it gets heated, even when it gets even a little bit ugly, I really think that if you look at it in the right way and as sort of, you know, I don't want to get all social worker here, but, you know, as sort of a growth opportunity, you know, sometimes you learn things and you find things out that, you know, even when it's a difficult, ugly discussion, you know, I think if you can come away with, you know, saying, hey, you know what, you know, I learned a little bit more about how that other person is thinking. And, you know, it never hurts to do that, you know. It would be nice.
You know, stay away from the personal attacks and, you know, look at it from, you know, like you said, sort of a learning experience, what you can take from it, someone other, you know, their point of view might change your mind, might not, but information is good.
Right. I just got shivers because somebody had posted they're watching the O'Reilly Factor. It just brings to mind, though, a point about discussion and debate. You know, there's such a thing as, you know, I have my ideas, you have your ideas. You know, there are places where we agree to disagree. There are places where, you know, there's common ground. But I think the problem comes, and we see this on a lot of those kinds of shows too, political shows and a lot of these debates about, you know, social issues, where it really is about winning and it really is about you know, getting sort of that one leg up on somebody else. And when it kind of deteriorates to that, you know, I think it really becomes more of a bullying situation, more of a, you know, it just sort of deteriorates and gets nasty. And that I don't think is particularly helpful. I think that kind of a debate and discussion is divisive, and it brings out the worst in people. And, you know, that I don't find to be very helpful. But when people are just sort of, you know, like we had that show, we've had different shows about writers, controversial artists, people, you know, oh, he sucks, oh, he's the greatest, you know, so what? At the end of the day, I think that's the kind of conversation where you should be able to, like, have a beer and part as friends, you know, because in the grand scheme, who cares, you know? I don't know if you see it that way, Michelle.
Absolutely, and, you know, I think if you can just be respectful of other people's opinions. You know, when you talk about can a community thing work? You know, are we just going to implode on each other? I think, you know, that kind of behavior where you can't, you know, be respectful, that's how it happens. It's unfortunate, I think it can be avoided. I think, you know,
and alcohol plays a role. I would say that there are times where, you know, a little bit of alcohol plays a role, and people, you know, get to talking a little bit of smack and they go a little too far, and, you know, people get excited about things, and you know, words come out of their mouths that they sometimes regret, and that happens. I mean, you know, that happens in your local bar, you know.
That's where you got to learn just not to hold a grudge, you know, just because you know, we're gonna mess up. We're gonna make mistakes. Projects are gonna fail, but that doesn't mean you're not coming from a good place. And I think that's really important. You know, you can debate and get in these awful, you know, discussions. If you're coming from a good place, you'll walk away from it in a good place.
Yeah.
So I think
you know, good point. Definitely think that's a good point. I think it's sort of where your head is at, you know, as far as whether you can bounce back from that. And, you know, if you kind of hate someone and you're, you know, or you're just, you know, a jackass anyway, I mean, it's a very different place than when, you know, you're just in a discussion and it gets heated. But I think part of the problem with communities, and I think, I don't know if you're like me, but, you know, you've sort of cycled through a lot of different writing communities. Some have, you know, people go their own way, just they get busy, they move on to other things. It's not that it ends badly, it's just that it sort of disbands for different reasons, and people go in different directions and you know, part as friends. And then there's some communities where it just deteriorates into just, you know, fighting and ego and, you know, resentment and bitterness about, you know, who's doing what and who's contributing this and who feels that this person is riding on their, you know, their celebrity coattails. You know, it just gets so insane, and sometimes the best thing to do is walk away.
Yeah, that's just so silly. I mean, either you know, you got into it for the wrong reasons, or you completely lost your focus on, you know, why you're doing what you're doing. You know, if you're in the small press, you know, by default, because no one else will put up with your shit, then, you know, the community is definitely not for you. I mean, it's not going to do you any good, and it's going to bring everybody else down. You know, and if your focus is to make, you know, a bunch of money or be famous, you know, there might be some resources on, you know, the Literary Underground site that would be helpful, but, you know, you're not going to contribute. But I think, you know, we're here for the people who are involved in the small press because they love and admire and respect the work that is produced and the people who do it. I mean, that's why I'm doing it.
Do you think, I mean, I don't know. Do you think there are times, though, where there are people that, I don't know, they say that they respect and admire and they contribute and they certainly associate with a lot of people in small press, but you kind of get the sense that, you know, there's scorn there, kind of like, I'm sort of slumming when I'm hanging here, you know, that they don't really see themselves as belonging here. And, I mean, I don't know if I'm maybe capturing that mindset very clearly, but, you know, there are times where I get the sense that someone is, I mean, see, like, I truly do love, you know, doing things myself, stapling, you know, the whole getting dirty, cutting up paper, you know, I always have, you know, that's part of the creative experience for me is putting these books together and doing all these different things. That's all part of it. But, you know, and I really feel like I love doing this and it's a community that I love, but I do get the sense from people at times that, you know, whether it's that sort of default thing or whether it's kind of like, yeah, I'm here, but I kind of don't feel like I'm, you know, I feel like I'm a little bit above doing this. And, you know, well, yeah, you can staple things and do that stuff, but yeah, I'm a little bit, you know, I don't know. That's a little bit beneath me, you know, and, you know, I'm just wondering if maybe that's part of it, that there's like a disconnect with, you know, with the spirit of the thing.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I do see people, you know, with that sort of attitude. And I think, you know, eventually that comes out and you see the way they do things and the way they deal with people. And I just try to stay away from those people. I mean, you know, I, you know, don't like, you know, the way they're handling things personally. And, but, you know, any beef that I have is not the beef of the Literary Underground. And, you know, that goes for anyone who's involved with it. You know, I don't care if you've got a new book out or, you know, a new press or whatever, we'll post about it, you know, whatever. But you're only going to get out of what you put into it. And if you have that sort of attitude, you know, you're not doing yourself any favor, you know.
Right. Well, but I think some people think that it's maybe on you to do them the favor, you know, simply because they're, you know, I don't know. I mean, so maybe it's a good time to sort of ask you, because this is, you know, really one of the things I wanted to do is what was the reason, like, what did you hope to, you know, what were your hopes, expectations when you had this idea, you know, as far as, you know, community, what kind of resources, like, what was the thing?
Yeah, I don't really think that far in advance. I mean, I just get these, you know, ideas. And the first one, you know, major undertaking was the wiki. And, you know, I've been involved in the small press for probably, I don't know, 7 or 8 years. But I was fortunate to get to know some people who've been doing it for 20, 30, 40 years. And, you know, I admired their endurance and their body of work. And I just thought it was really a shame that, you know, more people didn't know about it, especially the people that are, you know, active in the small press now that are sort of trying to carry on, you know, their work. So, you know, the point of the wiki was to collect all this information in one place where you can see, you know, who was involved, what they did, how it connected to each other, and, you know, also to start writing, you know, our own articles. So, you know, the next generation or whatever can come along and see, you know, our successes, our missteps, You know, who else is going to write it? And I couldn't find it anywhere else. There's a Zine Wiki, which, you know, focuses on zinesters and all the different zines that they've produced. So it was, you know, something along those lines. And I know some people for a while were trying to get articles posted on Wikipedia, but they have this, I think it's, they call it notable clause. You know, if you're not notable, then we'll delete your entry. And I thought, well, you know, who decides what's notable? You know, things
right,
that are notable.
Right. They do
do
that.
Know,
I mean, I've known, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, there are people that have said, you know, I mean, it is very hard because, yeah, I mean, there are people that are just not considered, you know, a person of importance, you know, and it's sort of the idea of, you know, hey, we can't include everybody or everybody would stampede over there and make a page for themselves. And, you know, I mean, I don't even know who cares if we even did that. But, yeah, I guess they have this standard that you have to be, you know, a certain level of significance. And I don't even know anything about how you get through those hoops. I mean, I've never tried to make a add myself,
yeah.
But I know people that have. And so, you know, I kind of look at it as it is a good resource. And something that obviously I could help you out more with, and maybe you know, it would be a good thing to do to let people know how they can add things and you know what that involves, whether it involves, you know, writing entries and sending them to you or to a particular place, because I think there are people that maybe don't even know the process. They think that maybe, you know, you just sort of sit there with a list and you just write it all yourself. I mean, people can submit entries, right?
Oh, yes, absolutely. I mean, you know, we had so much spam that I had to make it so that you have to register an account first, and then I approve it. But if you put in there, you know, I'm a writer, your little bio, whatever, it's approved. I think I've disapproved one. I guess the spam bots don't like the registration process. And, I mean, there is some, you know, like WikiSpeak where you have to put in different formats or whatever. But if you, you know, post the article, I'll go in and put that stuff in there. Or if, you know, you can't figure it out or you're not comfortable with that, you want to write something, then send it to me and I'll post it. You know, I just think the important thing to note is it's not just a directory. It's not just your bio. You know, it's more in depth than that. You know, take a look at some of the articles on there, you know, to see sort of the format. And, yeah, I'd love anyone to send stuff or post stuff. I love to find new writers and publications that I don't know about. And, that's why it's there.
Right. No, that's cool. I mean, I admit I'm one of those people that tried to format things, and I said, oh my gosh, I need to spend a day and have you walk me through it a little bit, and we'll do that. But yeah, I mean, I think it's one of many resources. I think people don't realize exactly what you know, what's out there. I mean, you also have like a kind of almost like a press release center set up, right? That sort of has, you know, just different news and things that are going on and sort of, I mean, I don't know if you're still updating that, but
no,
I know you were for a while.
Yeah, I kind of gave up on it. I mean, it's not really a good resource unless other, you know, publications or presses are doing press releases. And, you know, I think it's unfortunate that they're not, because I did find when I started doing them for Red Fez and posting them all over the internet that, you know, our visits went up. So,
right.
You know, word was getting out there in a different place, you know, rather than Facebook or the usual people that stop by. So I don't think it's necessarily a bad idea. It's just not being used.
Right.
So I haven't worked on it much more. You know, the site itself, it's not working the way I want it to. I just haven't had time to get in there and work on it. There's a lot of good stuff that could be better, and so that'll come.
All right. Well, I think it's something that, I mean, all these things, you know, it takes time. It's a sort of a work in progress, and it does take a lot of you know, a lot of time and energy and just sort of figuring out what works, what doesn't, what sections make sense. You know, there are a lot of times where, you know, you just say, you know what, this is a good idea, but it's maybe not the best place to put energy right now, you know, or you come back to it. I mean, I think, you know, I think where everything is at is pretty good. I mean, you know, there are the radio shows, there are all kinds of different things going on. It's you know, it's a group of you know, a bunch of people doing different things and with the autonomy, I think, to go in their own directions. So, yeah, I mean, I think it's cool.
I'm very happy with the radio shows. And I mean, that's like, you know, if you want to get involved and either with something that's already going, you know, please contact me. Or if you have an idea on your own, you'd like to spearhead that, then absolutely. And I love the radio shows. And I think, you know, Frank Reardon is a good example, you know, and he can call in and correct me. But I think he said that, you know, he's not ever done anything like this before, the blog talk or, you know, interviewing people in that way. And with the intent of, you know, promoting others' works, you know, to let people know about authors that he admires and presses that are doing things that he appreciates. And that's what it's about. And, you know, I think he'll catch the bug and find that he will get as much out of it as those people that he's interviewing.
Right. And everyone, and it goes without saying, but, you know, I'll say it anyway, that, you know, everyone starts somewhere. You know, everyone has that point where they do their first reading or their first radio show, or they try to put a chat together, you know, and after a while, I think it's easy for people to sort of, you know, take it for granted that, oh, it's, you know, it's nothing. It's difficult. It's difficult to put yourself out there because you are subject at times. As soon as you do that, you're subject to scrutiny, you're subject to criticism, the minute you put something out there, I mean, we like to think, oh, well, you know, everybody loves us, but that's not really the case. I mean, you know, there are, you know, it's hard. Sometimes you put yourself out there and, you know, people can be critical, people can be, you know, catty. And, you know, I think that there's a vulnerability that you have to be willing to accept. I mean, I know, for me.
I am never vulnerable.
Frankie!
Alexandra, I am impenetrable. You cannot penetrate my armor.
You're like the voice from above. Let me just say that this is Frankie Metro, and we're actually, it's a good time to, it's sort of a good time for him to chime in since we are, you know, talking a little bit about the radio, and he does one of the shows. You kind of scared me.
That was the intent. I wanted to sneak in here under the radar and scare you and 1L, Michelle.
Hello, I'm like looking around my room,
Hello, Michelle.
Hello.
Oh, you startled us.
I did. You know what? I was really excited when I heard that Michelle McDaniel was going to be on the radio. I was like, wow. Like, for real, Michelle, you have the best radio voice, I think, out of anybody, for real.
Right, absolutely.
No, I was telling Lynn earlier, I sound exactly like my mother, and it just freaks me out, so.
And I said, bring her on, too, because that would be even better. No, but you know what? What do you know? We hear you, so, you know, you have to sometimes just sit back and say, well, you know what? You know, I'll accept other people's, you know, version of this, and we, you know, I really think that you do a pretty good job with being on the radio shows, you know, and I know it isn't easy for people to call in. I'm not sure where Frankie went, but I'm looking, and I don't know. I guess I imagine he'll probably call back in and scare us again. And I do apologize for that because it sort of came out of nowhere, and you know, it did sort of, you know, it threw me a little bit. But, you know, like I said, we're freewheeling, and we kind of like that. I think we sort of like when we're, you know, startled. So, but you were, well, I think what you were saying, though, is that people, you know, the part of what you want to encourage and whether people have experience or whether it's the first time trying something, to encourage people to just, you know, try it. And I think that's one of the things community does. You know, people will say, well, what's the point of it? Is it going to sell me books? Is it going to make me rich? Am I going to be able to, you know, pay my mortgage with selling books? You know, community doesn't matter. You know, it's not, I don't think it's really about that. I don't really think it's about just the promotion and, you know, selling, promoting. You know, I think there has to be a layer of support there, you know, where I think one of the things community does is make it a little bit easier, you know, for you to kind of go out on a limb and try new things, because you sort of have the backing of people that support you and care about what you're doing. And I don't know, I imagine, you know, because knowing you the way I do, that you see it that way as well.
Absolutely. And, you know, I think there's, you know, if you're going to sell more books, that's sort of like a weird side effect.
Side effect. Yeah.
Right. I'm back.
You're back. See, I see you this time.
Yeah. I'm back.
I'm gonna pick up 701 too. So 701, whoever you guys are, just feel free to chime in.
No. Don't pick him up. Don't pick him up.
That's no good.
How do we know that 701 is a male?
That's Frank Reardon.
How do you know it's not like someone down the road on, you know, stole his cell phone?
I can smell Bukowski's urine on him.
Yeah, no, you cannot. is that in fact you, Frank?
Yeah, it is.
Ah, I smelled you, motherfucker. I smelled you from a mile away.
Oh.
Yeah, you got a lot of cats, don't you?
He's
no,
a rabbit.
I have a rabbit.
Oh, he's got a rabbit. He got a rabbit.
Yeah, let's just clear that up right now. I was a little drunk and on back pills that night, so let's all let that go from a month or two ago now.
Let it go.
You always smell like Bukowski's urine, dude. You know you do. Come on now. Don't lie, man. It smells like hops to you, bro, and you know it.
I like hops. Hops is good.
Yes.
He associates urine with hops. I'm lost. I don't know. You know what, Frank? I think that you're within your rights to respond to this accusation here.
Yes, respond.
But I like hops.
Yes.
My whole point about that, which I did constructively say the next day, was. This isn't even a subject for that, but we can discuss that on the line if you want one time, or in San Francisco, because this is a Michelle McDaniel show.
We'll do it in a steel cage, me and you, steel chairs, barbed wire. Let's do it.
What's the gift? What's the prize?
You get a signed copy of Bukowski's Dead Penis.
Oh, a copy? Wait a minute, a copy of it?
You just get a copy. We're the living right on the ground, man. We don't get paid to do this shit. All I can afford is a copy.
And a free birthday song from Chuck E. Cheese.
A Chuck E. Cheese. So you guys are going to go into, the penis reproduction, store?
Yes.
Where they actually have, fake knockoff versions of celebrity anatomy and body parts, and you're going to buy one?
And in the aisle, as we stroll down the aisle looking for Bukowski's penis, I will hold Frank Reardon's hand. I know it can be a scary place looking for.
First of all, if there was a shop like that, I really don't think that he would, if I had my little shopping list in a store like that, I don't even think he'd be on my list. I'd be there. I could think of about 50 different,
A store like this.
Never mind.
You know who works the cash register at a store like this? You know who works the cash register?
No.
New Mamba Flamingo. There you go.
So he has a level of expertise. So, you know, and probably a discount.
Yeah, and Nwamba's always got the discount on everything. That motherfucker's got the hookup on everything. It's crazy.
Frank Reardon, what do you think of this? Do you feel like you've been issued a challenge to do a cage fight with the prize being a replica of penis?
Three rounds.
Is that the prize?
Three rounds, Frank.
No.
2 minutes.
I'll just do the steel cage just for the hell of it.
Yeah.
The prize will be Frankie Metropolis crying on the ground.
No, it's going to be Frank versus Frank with Frankie Metro standing on your nuts.
You'll be too stoned to remember.
Why can't we get Jell-O? And, you know, like, see...
What?
See,
no.
Gotta take it there. See, you always gotta take it there.
That's right, because you know what? If you're gonna do it, you know.
You just want to see some homosexuality in a steel cage. That's all you want to see.
Or you could try mud wrestling.
Michelle. Is Michelle on there?
Michelle
is
probably.
Yeah.
Michelle, disgusted somewhere.
Will you please put a hold on Miss Lynn Alexander? She's out of control. Please. Out of control.
I think that she's pretty good at reeling me in.
Somebody had to reel you in from dancing to ABBA the other day, and where was Michelle? That's what I was wondering about. I was like, why isn't Michelle stopping her?
Let me tell you something. Michelle is one of those people that says, you know what? If it isn't hurting anyone and it isn't, you know,
it
it's not.
It
you know
me.
What? Let it go. Yeah, she totally lets me. You know what? That's the good thing about being friends with somebody like Michelle, because she isn't always up your ass telling you what to do, what not to do. She just sits there and says, whatever. Whatever,
Michelle.
Lynn. Do what you want.
Do you agree with this analysis here?
There's nothing wrong with dancing to ABBA.
Oh,
that's right.
Yeah, absolutely.
Dancing badly, I might add.
I'm
Frank
lost
Reardon?
In this conversation.
Yeah, see? Look, Frank Reardon's an ABBA fan. Like, what does that tell you? Right there. Frank Reardon loves ABBA. There you go.
I love ABBA. What are you talking about, Metro?
God.
You know what, since Frank wasn't there, we should, you know what, just to give you the background, you know, we were in Chicago, we were hanging out, and it seemed like the right time to put on some Dancing Queen.
It is never the right time for ABBA.
There are
I
times.
I have to agree with Frankie Metro for once.
There you
There's
go.
Never
well,
a time for ABBA.
Thank you. If
there comes a time, you know, when it's you know,
when
late at night.
If me and Frank Reardon can agree on the fact there is never a time for ABBA, there is never a time for ABBA. And that just happens. I'm sorry.
But if you guys want to dance to ABBA, I mean, I'll just go outside and sit under the stars and drink beer.
No, look, listen. The loser of the cage match has to dance to ABBA.
Okay.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
Let's do it. I'm on. I'm coming for you, Frank Reardon. You better be training.
You better start training.
You
got 2 months to train.
You better be training hard. Lift them 40s. Lift them above your head. Like this.
All right.
Percocet bottles over your head.
Just
like
so you're warned, though, Brian does tend to, he tends to get his video camera out when there's dancing involved. So, you know, yeah, especially if you do like the kick line, you know, with people
ain't
on
nobody,
the street and stuff.
Ain't nobody worried about Brian Fugit right now.
You gotta sort of just know that might be So if you win, you know, you don't have to worry about it. But if you lose, you might end up, you know, I don't know.
I have actually heard through the grapevine that Brian Fugit is actually being targeted as the next. Sex crime victim of Nuwamba Flamingo. I have hit on strong resources that this is going to happen and that Brian Fugit is going to regret it. So.
That's unfortunate. You know, there's a lot of, you know, what's with you guys in, you know, like, I don't know, assault
you have to ask the man.
Sexual, yeah.
You
got to
ask the man in 49 minutes. You got to ask
You know, can we do that? Can we be, you know, sort of candid and say, you know, like, what's your deal with, you know, penetration?
I can't guarantee what he'll say. Like, Nuwamba is a very peculiar individual, and I can't guarantee what his answer will be. But he will definitely answer you. And
there's like a theme going, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Definitely a theme.
Frank, Frank Reardon, have you seen the latest issue or the latest installment of the Meth Lab?
No, I have not. Oh, with the Lava Flamingo strap-on story?
No. There's a new one by Mr. Carl Kowalski that's up.
No, I have not.
It's a good one, man. You should check it out.
I haven't. I haven't even heard of Carl's name in quite some time, or Carl publishing it all. So yeah.
Yeah, man. Carl wrote one hell of a story, man. And yeah, you should check it out, bro. Good stuff.
I'll do that.
Do it, man. Do it. But anyway, I'm sorry. Like I'm gonna jump off here real quick, Lynn and Michelle. I'm sorry. I don't mean to take over your show or come in here and act like an ass. I just wanted to come on here and say that Literary Underground, basically for anybody out there that's listening and you have any like preconceptions about what the Literary Underground is, first of all, A, we're not a clique. Anybody and everybody's welcome. And, you know, I've been fortunate enough over the last like 3 years to work with a lot of different people. A lot of these people are coming back around again, and it's good for me to see them. It's good for me to hear you guys' voices and hear what you're doing. The only thing that I can say is that, you know, we're open doors. And as long as we're open doors, you know, the only thing that we expect from, you know, our listeners and our people that, like, you know, support what we're doing is the fact that you pass the word along. And that's it, you know, just, like, share the word. That's all you got to do. And we don't have any other preconceptions about membership fees or, like, membership period. We just, like, want you guys to be involved. And that's it.
So like you like what you're seeing, or you like what somebody's doing, or a project that they're doing, then, you know, one of the ways you can show the love is, you know, spread the word on it. I think I agree with that. I think it's something that is very important, particularly since we don't have the money and resources that, you know, the corporate world and you know, I mean, we're not one percenters. We are, you know, people that are, that word of mouth and that commitment to one another and to what we're doing is really the only leverage we have, you know, in the space that we're in, you know.
Indeed.
So I think it's a very important part of what we're doing, you know, because at least we have, you know, I guess the enthusiasm and the desire to support each other, you know, without, I think that's an important part of community, which is really what we're talking about here. But you know what, and you know what, Frankie, before you go, because I'm going to put you on the spot here. We joke around, and I kind of would like to see you in a cage fight with Frank. I would. You know, I'd probably even pay a little bit to see
that.
That'd
be
just
the most
exciting
2 minutes of your life.
However, that being said, what I would rather see, though, is I would rather see, you know, everybody kind of on a deeper level. I mean, I'm going to get hippie here, so I'd kind of like to see everybody, you know, step back, take pause, and say, you know what? How can we, you know, get along a little bit better sometimes, you know? Because this whole, like, Facebook is drama, and everything anybody does anymore is, like, drama. It's like, you know, I don't mean you in particular. I just mean just everybody, everywhere.
Let me ask you.
Like what is
look
that?
Look at the fascination with reality television in this country right now. Look at the fascination.
Well, absolutely, absolutely.
You know, that's what drives, and this is a thing that has gone back for thousands, hundreds, millions, billions of years. I mean, like, you can look at simple things like Shakespeare's plays. The majority of Shakespeare's plays did not sell that were not drama-related during that era. That's just one, like, thing right there. You know what I'm saying? Like, this is a nation that's built on it's built on strife, we're built on dilemma, and we're built on personality. You have all three of those packed into, like, reality shows, and you have all three of those packed into social mediums like fucking Facebook and MySpace and what have you. It's kind of hard to steer away from that sometimes. That being said, I've always found the best medicine when you find yourself getting too caught up in issues that go on in social mediums like Facebook, you find yourself too caught up in social mediums like that goes on Blog Talk Radio or what have you, it's just time to take a step back and just lay low for a minute. And it's the best medicine, in all honesty. It really is.
Right. Right. No, I'm just, I mean, like I said, I'm not talking about any issue or any particular thing. It's just that, you know, to me, that, when we talk about community, that seems to be the place where some of the energy seems to go, you know? Does that make sense?
Well, Jason Ryberg had a very interesting comment on the events page, exactly. I don't have it in front of me. But, I mean, like, he was talking about how, I mean, we ask ourselves all the time, like, why we can't find a sense of community in something like the small press, quote-unquote, or what have you. And I think it goes along the lines of calling it something like small press. We think of ourselves and we think of, like, what we have as talent, and we think of, like, our influences being something singular, or we think of something being completely exclusive. And a lot of times we find ourselves, anytime that we're faced with outside sources that don't fall along the same lines of that, we find ourselves sometimes threatened. And not necessarily threatened, but like wanting to be threatened. I think a lot of times we search out for that kind of strife in social situations, that way we can kind of like reaffirm ourselves or reaffirm like what sort of, I don't know, persona that we've created for ourselves as a writer or as a poet or what have you. And I think a lot of times it comes down to the fact that you just need to get the fuck out of the way of yourself. And,
yeah, no, I think that's true. And I actually prefer independent press, because small press, we use it.
I hate
the
small
its
press.
Term.
Yeah, I hate
but,
it. I hate
and small press sort of implies that it's sort of we're here and they're there. And I think certainly there's crossover. And you know, I think independent simply meaning that we don't have the financial backing of, you know, a corporate situation. I mean, it is independent. We are basically in charge of our own content, and so I do prefer independent for those reasons. But, you know, I think it's also important to realize that, you know, the small press or the independent press doesn't owe you a social life.
No.
You know, it doesn't owe you, you know, you're not entitled to necessarily fill the different social and other voids in your life in that way. And I think sometimes people look to it to, you know, fill in everything that's missing in their lives. I mean, it's not that. It's not going to be that for you, you know, necessarily. I mean, it can be. You know, certainly we have good friends. We, you know, I mean, I have some of my best friends are in the small press, but they're not the only people that I know.
Well,
you know?
You can look at a lot of people that are in the quote-unquote independent press. A lot of them have time, or a lot of the times some of these people have issues dealing with people outside of their little social circles on Facebook and what have you. I mean, they have trouble dealing with people day to day. A lot of these people are loners. I'm a loner myself. Like, in all honesty, I shy away from a lot of social situations around town and whatnot just because I can't stand people for the most part. And even, like, when you find yourself in that kind of a skewed perspective, it just becomes so much easier for you to fall in line with, like, whatever your buddy that lives in Seattle says about this person or that person or what have you. And it really makes you lose sight of, like, the long goal, which is basically just, I like to call it the two X's. You've got exposure and you got experience. Those are the two X's of this little independence press, and that should be your goal, exposure and experience. And that's it. Don't worry about anything else.
Okay. Michelle, you're quiet. Frank's quiet too, but I imagine Michelle's got something to say here.
I'm just on the taking spot. It all in.
Yeah, I probably sound like an idiot. I'm sorry, I'm drunk. So I probably sound like an asshole, but
Oh no. It's like I said, it's unscripted. It's unscripted because, you know what, I really think that, you know, there are times where people just have to, you know, just say it, you know, get it out there. You know, and like I said,
I can't say what everybody else's motivation is. I can only say what my motivation is. My motivation are, like I said, those two X's I was talking about, experience and exposure. That's it, man. I just want to put my shit out there for people to read, and I want the experience of writing. And that's it.
But why? If for people, you know what the funny thing is, for a misanthropic, you know, group of people that are, you know, I'm a loner and I hate people, isn't it odd to devote your life to the desire to share and create things for a population that you despise?
I think, in all honesty, I think writing a lot of times it exceeds what kind of expectations you have for your personal life. There's so many different factors that are taken into consideration when you're talking about writing. You have imagination, You have different, you have fiction, of course, you have nonfiction, what have you. I mean, you can't always go from life experience. Sometimes you have to go from, like, what's inside of your head.
No, but I mean, why, isn't it odd that you'd have the desire to, you know, take your talent and your time and, put it toward giving these things to people that you kind of aren't crazy about?
It's not necessarily the fact that you're giving it away to people that you aren't crazy about. It's getting stuff off of your chest a lot of times. It's that experience.
Okay, no, I'm curious.
Yeah.
I'm not trying to be,
you know, I don't know, like, how many people read my stuff. I don't usually get that much feedback for my kind of stuff. I just continuously put it out there just because I want to. I don't know what my motivation is anymore. I just know that if I don't have writing, if I don't have an outlet for it, then I don't know what the fuck I'm doing with my life. I'm not working at a goddamn pizza bar for the rest of my life and calling that my gig, you know what I mean? Like, I'm not going to be a bar fucking maid for the rest of my life. You know, I want to be able to sit there and say, like, whenever I'm 70 or whatever, like, I wrote this, I wrote that, what the fuck ever, you know? Like, I did. I wrote these things. I don't have to fucking, like, go out and brag about it to, like, 20,000 people to make me feel, like, really big about it. If one person reads it and they like it, then cool. If one person reads it and they hate it, cool. You know, I still got a reaction out of you. And that's just the way it's – that's what it's all about, man. For me, personally, I like antagonizing people, so that's just my motivation.
He likes antagonizing people. What do you think, Michelle? Do you like antagonizing people? What do you think, Frank?
No, I don't.
See, the thing is that I honestly see it's good that it's good because the four of us are here, because I think that Michelle and I, you know, are sort of, you know, one school of thought, and I'm not trying to point fingers, but I think there's a little bit of a divide here, because I really don't like to antagonize. I really like to, you know, it was sort of
maybe
like if I don't have something.
Maybe antagonize is the wrong word. Maybe that's.
Yeah, right. But I mean, I don't really, I really kind of don't like a lot of the conflict.
I kind of feel like I don't like to
tear people down and argue.
I like to make people think. Like, that's my thing. It's like, I just like to make people think. That's my thing. So maybe antagonizing was the wrong word there. I used the wrong word, and I apologize. But I do like to provoke thought, and that's what I'm about. Whatever you guys are about, that's cool, and I respect everything. I respect every individual artist's motivation, whatever it is, and that's cool. Like, whatever you want to do and whatever reason that you have for doing it is completely different than mine. And then I don't think anybody's motivation for writing is exactly the same. I think everybody's got a different motivation for it.
But what about being in community? I mean, there's the motivation to write. That's sort of a separate thing. But the motivation to be part of something, to be part of a community,
yeah,
to be part of a group. I mean,
you have to pick what you put your heart into. And that's why I picked you guys to put my heart into, because I really believe in, like, what Literary Underground does, and I believe in what everything that related that we do does, because I believe that there is that, we have situations I'll talk about this, like, we have situations where we commonly disagree on things, you know, within our little clique or whatever you want to call it. We have situations where we disagree on things, but the great thing about our community is that we can sit there and agree to disagree, and we have different opinions about things, and we never get out of line about it, and we don't disrespect each other over it. And I think that's, like, that's what community is to be able to accept somebody's differences without trying to impede upon them. And I clearly believe that Literary Underground is a place for that. And, yeah, that's about it.
What do you think? I don't know if Frank's still on. Is Frank, you still on?
Yeah.
What do you think?
He hates everything I'm saying, so that's all good.
No, I just, everybody does have their own reasons to write.
Yeah.
I'm not going to sit here and explain mine.
No, I mean,
maybe,
like,
when we're all together.
That's the great thing about me and Frank is, like, we both have different motivations for writing, and we both can sit here and, like, still be friends with each other and still, like, communicate and what have you. Like, that's the kind of community I like to see, is to be able to be different people and still have the same kind of mindset. is where you're accepting.
Well, we all come from different backgrounds as human beings,
yeah.
So it's like a lot harder for me to walk around with flowers hanging out of my mouth and say hug everybody in the community.
Right.
I show my love for other people in different ways. I come from a very sarcastic, blue collar background. I cannot
yep.
in a way be like, everybody throw up the peace sign. I can't be that way. Like, where I come from, people call each other a motherfucker as a sign of respect. It's just where I come from.
Exactly.
Like, where Lynn might come from some place where it's like, let's dance to ABBA.
I think, you know, I think, oh gosh, talk about having me wrong. Oh my goodness.
It's too late. It's out there, Lynn. It's out there now. So.
Yeah. I mean, you know what? I'm really not this like hippie person. Let's all get along. But I will say that I feel that at the end of the day that we accomplish more and we go much further when, we're civil. And no, you know, you mentioned getting people to think, and getting people to think is, to me, not always accomplished when people are hot-headed and heated and they're hollering at each other.
No.
Because at that point, I don't think anybody's listening, you know? So, yes, I do.
Well,
speak. People always say that I very rarely raise my voice. I'm a very quiet, generally soft-spoken person. But I don't think that that means people listen less. I think that, you know, I think people listen less when their ego is hurt and when you attack them. And because now they're defending themselves. They're defending who they are because you've just attacked who they are. You've just attacked their writing or their integrity. Or, you've just torn them a new ass. And now their interest is in defending themselves, not in talking about, you know, reconciliation about
people,
an issue.
They shouldn't take themselves so seriously. Like, in all honesty, they really shouldn't be taking yourself so seriously. Like, if you're that butthurt over somebody making fun of you, like, come on. Like, we're not in middle school anymore. Like, I get made fun of a lot, and, you know, I'm sure Frank Reardon gets made fun of a lot. You know, like, people get made fun of. It happens, man. Like, we're writers. Like,
right. No,
not
absolutely.
Exactly,
and I participate
exactly
in that, I think.
The most socially acceptable crowd in, you know, existence right now. I mean, we're all, like, freaks in our own little way.
Yeah, but there's also going to be times where people are going to screw up. Like said radio incident a couple months ago, a month ago. Yeah, I would have never have done that if I wasn't intoxicated the way that I was. Like, I was wrecked. And
I love screwing up.
You know.
Yeah.
But people do that stuff sometimes. And then I wake up in the morning, I'm like, I did something last night. I know I did. And then I'm like, oh. But that happens anytime in life with anything and anybody.
Well, you just got to be, like, seriously, like, I, like, when that shit happened a couple months ago, like, I was, like, I took offense, man. I was, like, God, man, like, I can't even get a word in edgewise here. This is bullshit. And then me and you talked about it, and it's, like, oh, fuck it. It's not even that big of a deal. Like, that's where we're at as a community. That's what a community is all about, is when you're, like, when you can wake up the next morning and just both look at each other and be, like, you know what, dude, that was dumb. And
as long as we're not waking up next to each other, it's all
good. Yeah, exactly.
Right.
Well,
and we are going to be in archives in 10 seconds, so I do apologize for everybody out there live, but it will be in our archive. And you know, we will wrap it up pretty soon, but, yeah, we are out of live time.
I just wanted to say Lindsay is shoving a Rush Limbaugh book in my face. The title of it is "The Way Things Ought to Be" by Rush Limbaugh. Oh,
can she bring it to San Francisco so we can, like, piss on it?
I am so down for that. We'll burn the shit out of this book.
I absolutely would. You know what? Very few things motivate me to, you know, but I would absolutely drop my drawers and totally do that on his book. That's how strongly I feel about.
As long as we can put it on the side of Applebee's, I will totally piss on it, and that's just the way it's going to work. So.
Because that's the value of it to me.
Yeah.
And you know, and I, out of curiosity, because I do like to know what the other side is thinking. I mean, I have read his stuff. You know, I washed and took a long shower after, you know. But, it's what can you do? But, yeah, I mean, I don't know. I mean, I think, like I said, as far as the divisive thing, here's the problem, though, and it's sort of maybe good to do it in archives. With community, though, is that there are times where you do have a group of people trying to accomplish something, and sometimes the problem comes in when one person, you know, goes rogue and says something, and then the other members of the group are sort of, you know, I mean, I think you have to remember that one person does not speak for the group. I mean, you know,
no.
if I go and I, you know, I curse out, you know, somebody, it doesn't mean that that's everybody, you know, but it's hard.
What about when someone, you know, which I have noticed being involved in other groups, any kind of group in life, is when you think differently than the group about things. Like, I remember when I was living in Huntsville, there was an artist collective in a low mill, and you know, I'd start going there, and I was doing poetry readings there, and then I disagreed with their politics about anything, and then I was shunned.
Yeah.
Like, a community should be able to accept those that think differently as well.
Yeah.
You know,
I agree with that. Like, you gotta be able to,
everywhere.
You gotta be,
I mean,
able to take people for what they are. First off and foremost, you ought to know who you're dealing with right off the bat. And one of the biggest things of knowing what you're dealing with in a person is knowing their faults. And knowing, like, or not even knowing what their faults, but knowing their differences are. I'll go ahead and say that.
Isn't it also whether people impose it on you? I mean, obviously, you know, there are places where, you know, if you're not religious or you have different political views, yeah, you will be sort of the pariah of your town. And I think that, but I think that one of the problems is that I don't have a problem with other people having different points of view and different opinions. My problem comes when they bring it to my door. And they try to, you know, to push it on other people, because then, yeah, I do feel the need to push back, you know, on that. And, I mean, it's hard. I mean, but on the other hand, I think that it's bad for a group to be, you know, that groupthink mentality where everybody is always on the same page and everyone is always in agreement and they have the same exact political views and the same views on everything, parenting or economics. You don't have any diversity there either.
It's definitely
that
bad. Like, I've been in those organizations, you know. There was the freaking Hydra Syndicate or whatever, like, a couple of years ago. Like, that was exactly like that. It was a bunch of guys and girls, like, trying to get together and have the same mentality about something, and it just went all shit. Because nobody can think the same. Nobody thinks the same about anything. And if you expect that, then you might as well just start a little militia out in the middle of Texas somewhere or something like that. I mean, that's exactly where you're heading at. You might as well call yourself David Koresh, you know?
What did the big sign on the House of Blues used to say? Unity in diversity.
Yeah, exactly.
I used to have a T-shirt that used to say Unity in Diversity from the House of Blues.
Yep.
That's
No, I think that's true. And I think creatively, too. I mean, I think that when you have different kinds of writers, I mean, certainly, you know, I do different things than what Frank does. And you know, Michelle does a very, very different stuff than what I do. And, you know, I think that's in a creative community, I think you need that, too. I think you need to have different, but also different different culture personalities. Like you mentioned, people coming from different places. I mean, believe it or not, in my family, you know, calling me an asshole is pretty, you know, is pretty acceptable, too. I mean, you know, but I think there is that background and culture where you're coming from that you bring to the situation that really does have a lot to do with how you show affection. I mean, my brother shows affection to me by, texting me that I'm an asshole. I mean, that's the way he shows love. That's the way we are with each other. But I could see from the outside somebody not understanding that and saying, oh, boy, you know, that's offensive and, you know, what's wrong with you people? That is how some people do show, you know, that they care about other people. And I do get that.
Well, I'll give you a prime example. I dealt with something like that earlier today, actually. There was somebody that posted a poem that had the word Negro-faced in it. And I contacted this person. I was like, what the fuck does Negro-faced mean? Like, are you talking about a face like mine? Like, what the fuck does that mean? And this person tried to explain to me that it was a historical reference, and he was meant it as a term of endearment for his girlfriend, is what he told me. I mean, like, that's... Yeah.
Did you buy that?
No, I don't buy that. I don't buy that shit at all, man. There's, like...
There's a difference between using crap like that. I would never go up to somebody and, like, excuse the language, but call someone a kike.
Yeah,
you
exactly.
Know, I'd be like, what up, chief? You're a real fucking asshole today, aren't you?
Exactly.
There's a difference between
but,
using
like,
foul
that
language
up,
and sh-
that brings up my question. Like, you're talking about, we're talking about being accepting of people's differences and difference in opinion. To him, it was completely valid that this was a term of endearment for his girlfriend. It wasn't racist to him. And even though I tried to explain it to him, like, you know, where I was coming from on my side, you know, he still saw it as it being not in reference to what I was talking about. So I was, and in the end, I finally accepted the fact that, you know, he's a young kid, he just doesn't understand where I'm coming from, and obviously I don't understand where he's coming from. So you have to be accepting of it and just walk away from the situation and say, hey, we got a difference of opinion, but hey, you're still a good person. I enjoy your company. I enjoy talking to you, and I enjoy your writing, and I enjoy your work. So let's just leave it at that. And that's what a community is all about. That's the community mindset that needs to be instilled in the independent press that we have going on today.
Well, you got to think about it in terms of when you're amongst a diverse group of writers, per se, I'll say it that, like, independent press. Anybody who is a voracious reader, I know that some, I'd assume all we all are,
yeah.
That your bookcases, look at your own personal bookcases, how diverse are they?
That's
true. You know, and the authors and the different types of people that are on there. I mean, like S.A. Griffin once told me, modern poetry is not Allen Ginsberg, it's what's happening now. And, you know, one day, maybe the next generation, a lot of us will be on those bookcases as diverse people as is what's on my bookcase now.
Yeah, exactly, man. I've got, like, right now I'm looking at everything from Franz Kafka to Roberto Bolaño to Nietzsche to Frank Reardon. That's on my bookcase right now, you know what I mean? Like, that's where I'm at. And, I mean, that's where you need to... that's a good analogy, actually, I think. We can think of the independent press as it being a literal, or not a literal, but a metaphorical library of sorts. You know, you have your people on there that have different opinions than the other book that you're about to pick up. So you just might as well accept this one opinion as what it is and move on to the next one. If you don't like it, you don't have to open that book anymore. That's the way you look at it.
I don't think it's necessarily a good idea to see everything as the... I think there's also a competitive mindset. I mean, I don't think you have to necessarily throw Ginsberg under the bus just because... You know what I mean? I think that it's
no,
it's,
I'm not throwing Ginsberg under the
yeah,
bus. I'm
no,
saying,
I'm not saying you
that.
Are, but I'm saying there are people who do kind of say, you know what, it's... You know, I guess what I'm saying is that, you know, there's room on the shelf for everybody, really. I mean, you know, it's... You know, I don't feel like you have to necessarily tear down one group of writers because you prefer another. I mean, I think it's just, hey, you buy what you buy, you read what you read. What's on your shelf is going to look different than what's on mine. You know, my top 10 is going to look very different than yours. And I think, you know, it's amazing because there's a lot of argument about that, you know, about who the next generation of people are going to be. I mean, you know, and I think we owe a tremendous amount of debt to the people that came before us because of what they were able to accomplish.
Of course,
yeah,
I'm not saying
so
that.
I'll always give props, you know, to some of these old guys, you know.
So do I, but I was using it as an analogy as opposed to a group of people. I wasn't per se, and I'm not, like, you know, I think that, of course, I read most of those people on a daily, if not constant, basis. I'm always reading, you know, and they could be now or then. But modern poetry is what's happening right now.
Right. Mm-hmm. No, it is. It is.
Yep. And you know what?
Wherever that is.
You know who's at the forefront of modern poetry right now and who's, like, way too silent is Michelle McDonald. And, Michelle, like, what's up with you? Like, why aren't you saying anything on this? You're not speaking on this right now. And you've got hella opinions. I know you do. Is she gone? Did we lose Michelle?
No, she's probably sleeping. I mean, Michelle and I get up early.
I mean,
if she's anything like me, somewhere around, you know, 1 o'clock, you know, when you get up at 6 in the morning, 7 in the morning, it's hard.
Well,
so,
Michelle,
I imagine she's curled up.
I'd say she is. And Michelle, if you're listening in your dreams there, I just want to wish you a very
happy good night and pleasant dreams, Michelle 1L McDonald. And
right. Now we have, can you just explain what's going on? You're doing an episode of Meth Lab.
I was just going to say I got to cut out because I'm actually doing an episode of the Meth Lab Radio with Columbus Flamingo, which is right here on the Literary Underground following Project U Radio. So you guys, tune in, 19 minutes, same place, same time, same channel. There you go.
All right, and thank you. Thank you, Frankie Metro and Michelle McDonald and Frank Reardon. Always good to hear you guys and the different ideas and thoughts that come out of these things. I don't know. I get something out of it. I'm speaking for myself. I mean, I like to hear it, and I think it's cool. So, okay, that's Project U Radio. We have just used up another hour and 15 minutes of your time. And okay, thank you. See you next week.